Audible Studios presents A Guided Tour of Hell, a graphic memoir. Written and performed by Samuel Burkles.
A note to the reader. The writing of this memoir has been a humbling pilgrimage. I've had dozens of false starts trying to find a way to express an experience that is truly ineffable. Early in its inception, I thought of doing a little comparative study of the hell experiences documented in various cultures through their literature. That undoubtedly would have been a much easier task than this autobiographical approach. How did this approach and format come into being? A couple of years after the events recounted in this book, I decided to share the experience in a weekend program far from home, at the Maitrepa Center in Healesville, Victoria, Australia. I offered a seminar that compared my experience with the descriptions of hell found in Tibetan religious texts, particularly the classic work, The Words of My Perfect Teacher, by Patril Rinpoche. It was the first time I had spoken openly about the experience in public. At the end of this program, one of the participants, Stuart McDonald, told me how taken he was by the content. Stuart encouraged me to write it as a book, not an ordinary book, but a kind of graphic novel that would impart through words and pictures an inkling of the ineffable. I had also told a few close friends back home about the experience. Almost in passing, I mentioned it to the illustrious meditation master Tulku Tundup Rinpoche when I visited him and his wife, Lydia Siegel, at their home in Cambridge, Massachusetts. To my surprise, Tulku laughed, joking, "Oh, so you are the first American Delog." It seems there is an extensive Tibetan literature containing near-death accounts by advanced meditators, both male and female, known as Delogs, returners from death. And many of them reported their visits to the lower realms, where beings may be reborn. Tulku has translated a number of these accounts, which appear in his book, Peaceful Death, Joyful Rebirth. "The Delogs," he explained, "are not a modern phenomena, nor are they exclusively Tibetan. Many Delogs were instructed by enlightened beings to return to the world of the living, to teach others. While I cannot claim that my experience corresponds exactly to the Tibetan Buddhist descriptions of the hell realms, it was fascinating to think that I might be considered part of a recognized tradition. Encouraged to pursue my project, I explored the world of graphic novels, and graphic memoirs, as they are called, and saw that yes, maybe that would work. At first, I thought I might draw on the Western world's most famous map of hell, Dante's Inferno, and imagined that the book could be a witty dialogue between Dante and Patril Rinpoche as the three of us traced the journey together. I tried writing a version like this, but it was just too conceptual, so I abandoned that approach. Next, I sent out feelers into the world of illustrators in the hope of finding a collaborator who might understand. My wife, Amy Green, had the inspiration that the artist we sought might be Pema Taye, a young painter and architect we had both met. Somehow, she remembered that even though he was a master of traditional Tibetan sacred arts, he also had the penchant, talent, and training to produce illustrations in the style of fantastic and comic book art. Not expecting much, I set up an afternoon meeting with Pema, anticipating a quick half-hour session with inconclusive results. That half-hour stretched into multiple hours, and it wasn't till midnight when I finally went home, exhilarated. Not only did Pema understand what I was talking about, but he was able to see it clearly in his mind's eye and was confident that he could translate my stories into drawings and paintings. At numerous subsequent meetings, we went over the story in greater detail. And in a little more than a year, Pema had produced the extraordinary black-and-white comic book-like drawings that graced the first and third parts of the book. He then began to create a series of outstanding color paintings that bring to seething life the journey through hell itself that I recount here. It should be noted that the images may not always reflect the exact details of my narrative. The artist's response to my story springs from his own deep sources of creativity and inspiration. Please see his comments in the section about the illustrations at the back of the book. In verbalizing my narrative, a major challenge was how to convey realities that occur outside of ordinary space and time. I had to create a language that evokes rather than explains, which in many ways lacks precision and accuracy, but which nonetheless points. I'm sure that Pema faced a similar challenge in devising a visual language inspired by my cryptic utterances without trying to depict them in the literal sense. We spent long hours over several months discussing the details of color, shape, and anthropomorphic representations. First drafts were produced through Pema's exacting artistic capabilities, his natural grasp of the subject matter, and his seeming ability to mind meld with me. From the early roughs, the paintings were painstakingly imbued with all the detail and emotion of the experience, achieving a quality unimaginable to my expectations. Characters and hellscapes. The next step of the collaboration involved my contemplating the paintings, Pema's interpretations of my speech, and then entering into a kind of imaginal dialogue with the images. From this arose a written language, complete with characters and hellscapes constructed from both memory and imagination. Another great challenge was unexpected. Each time I put pen to paper, my fingers to a keyboard, or my speech into a microphone, it was necessary for me to re-enter the Hell Realm to be able to relate anything at all. Each re-entry was emotionally excruciating in its intensity. Pema, too, reported that the paintings for this book were some of the most personally harrowing work he has ever done. To re-experience the almost inconceivable agony and suffering has required a great inner strength combined with a deep stillness that allowed me to see without judgment or fear. From this seeing, I created characters that personify some of the qualities of the myriad denizens of hell. A couple of close friends who read the manuscript were initially puzzled by these character vignettes, feeling that their inclusion created a mixed genre, part personal experience, part fiction, that could be confusing, especially for Western readers. If Buddhist hell is the intensified projection of an individual's mental habit energy, are these stories merely dramatizations of my own habit energy? Or are the characters actual beings who might have lived or will live as humans on Earth? I acknowledge that the fictional characters may give rise to skepticism as well as confusion between my spontaneous visions and what I had already learned as a student of Buddhism. I beg the reader's indulgence for these ambiguities, which are inescapable if the story was not to become encumbered with commentary. In telling this strange tale, my intention has been to communicate the stark reality that is hell, both as I perceived it during a near-death experience and as it corresponds to Buddhist cosmology, which is quite distinctive compared with Western traditions. I do not mean to imply that the characters were specific real people, nor do I want to stereotype particular groups. Rather, the idea was to personify habits of thought and behavior that have manifested in every human culture on Earth. My experience showed me that there are characteristics common to all beings of hell. They possess a thoroughgoing materialism combined with nihilism to varying degrees, and attitudes of hatred, disdain, and utter lack of concern or caring for other beings. In the portrayal of fictionalized characters, there is not only a description of their present state of torment, but also at times the ways in which each of them created agony for themselves and others. Some of the characters are familiar types of individuals who display the ordinariness of our addiction to negative mental states, while others may bear some resemblance to infamous historical figures of the past. There are even a few characters in futuristic settings, for in my experience of hell, the three times, past, present, and future, all existed simultaneously in an eternal now. At the same time that the characters may be seen as familiar types of humanity, all of them possess some elements drawn from my past. As a result of my visionary experience, I gained insights into the personal hells that have manifested in my own life, and I used these glimpses to inform some of the character vignettes I created. But insofar as we humans share similar encounters with suffering in the course of our journey of many rebirths, my hell could have elements in common with your hell. In the end, this book is not so much a literary work as a record of my journey and what can possibly be learned from it. I do not claim to present a textbook portrayal of the Buddhist underworld, nor do I seek to convince you that the afterlife exists. I don't address the question raised by near-death experiences, which have been well-researched elsewhere. And my story is certainly not meant to frighten anyone, though people may be startled by it. It is simply my hope that any insights contained in this book and its extraordinary artworks will help those who are experiencing hell on earth and hell in their own minds to find relief and liberation. My constant task has been to relate the experience with clarity and compassion. Considering my nightmarish expedition, it is perhaps surprising that I have little fear of King Death. For my faith assures me that his inevitable presence is the face of truth. However, I do fear King Bullshit, the face of self-deception and cowardly denial. He is an insidious and evasive shadow, always concealing himself in one's blind spot. Fortunately, there are luminous beings of compassion and wisdom who dissolve his power into organic fertilizer, a soil from which blossoms of wakefulness will eventually unfold. Sam Burkles, American Airlines Flight 72, somewhere over the South Pacific, January 22nd, 2016.